College football nerds here talking Georgia and Michigan, and we're going to let y'all in on a little secret before we get into all the housekeeping and talking about stuff. This is our favorite semifinal we've ever covered. We are so excited to see this game because we honestly have no idea how to pick it. But just wanted to get that out there because the matchup is so interesting for both of us. So y'all should really hang out, listen to us, and get excited along with us. But here's your homework. In the comments, give us your score prediction for this game. Michigan fans, Georgia fans, you're kind of used to how we do things around here. But if you're not subscribed yet, please subscribe. One more piece of homework. We said at the end of the Alabama-Cincinnati preview, we're going to say at the beginning of this one. The one way you can help us out the most is to share this video wherever you talk about football. If it's Dog Vent, if it's on MGO blog, if it's on Facebook, if it's on Twitter, some other forum, share us there. That'll help us out a ton. That's all we ask of you. If you think it's good enough, maybe listen to the whole thing. If you think it's good enough, then share it. All right, Josh, this is the segment to open it up where I make Georgia fans and Michigan fans mad. And then you kind of bring it back a little bit. Georgia fans are all on Stetson Bennett because of the Alabama game. And they have a point in that at some point, and this is what we've said for 2 years now, at some point you're going to need to score 40-something to win a game, right? To elite teams at some point to win a national championship need that sort of bail out the defense kind of game. And now they're all pointing their guns at Stetson Bennett because they didn't beat Alabama. And they're saying JT Daniels would have been the answer, which, one, I don't think it is. Kirby Smart's on record now as saying he's not playing because of injury. Stetson Bennett just beat him out. So what I saw in the Alabama game was a Georgia offense that if their defense didn't give up five scores in a row, four of which were touchdowns, they probably score in the mid-30s. Like, there was enough production in that game from the offense to score in the mid-30s. And you had boneheaded move of going for it on fourth down on the 19-yard line, which I thought it was too early for that. You had this stress of not being able to establish the run game to really expose Alabama's defense because you were digging out of a hole because you knew your defense was just going to get run all night long. Now, I think some of that was a little bit of an aberration. I don't think that defense is as bad as they showed in that game. But I also think that people are underselling Stetson Bennett as at quarterback still this far in the season. Josh, am I wrong in saying, at least in this game, Georgia has the better quarterback? This is where I make everybody mad. Let me know and maybe give us some thoughts on Stetson Bennett at quarterback.
I think you know that I've been a pretty big Stetson Bennett fan throughout the year. When you look at a lot of statistics in college football, there's lots of things that matter. One of the big things that matters is what kind of yard per attempt you have, what kind of total yardage you have, that kind of version of production. But another big thing that matters is your efficiency. You know, how good are you at moving the sticks? What is your completion percentage like, etc.? And in those metrics, I mean, Stetson Bennett was a 64% passer, but he was 10.1 yards per attempt, 177 QB rating, 24 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Yeah, he wasn't what people remember JT Daniels being from last year. Look, I think I've said it way too many times. I think there's a lot of maybe misremembering of things or a lot of situational factors there. But Bennett is the number 4 quarterback in the country in QB rating. You know who number 5 is? Bryce Young. So when you talk about Bennett and what he brought to the team, you know, all the Georgia fans going into that Alabama game were trumpeting the fact that he's one of 2 quarterbacks in the country that has over 10 yards per attempt. He is an extremely efficient passer. He is very good at distributing the football. And on the other side of the ball, quite frankly, McNamara is a guy that Michigan tries to use as little as possible. I mean, in that Ohio State game, he threw 19 passes to 41 carries. So, I mean, in my mind, there's no doubt that Georgia has the better quarterback in this game. And yeah, they don't have the vertical passing game that people want, but I'm going to throw out something that I've said all year, and Georgia fans always take offense with. They're going to take offense with it again in every video that we do, but I'm just trying to be real. Georgia's receiving core does not present a lot of explosiveness. Bowers is a phenomenal tight end. And I have been saying since early in the season, you can be a really, really good tight end, but you cannot score 40 plus points trying to run your offense through a tight end. And when I say that, Bowers had over a third of the receptions in the game. He was the only guy with more than four receptions, the only non-running back with over three, and he had 10 for 139 yards against Alabama. The problem with Bowers is he got those in like 10 to 20 yard chunks over and over again. And they were phenomenal plays because he's a phenomenal player. He's physical. He has great hands. He does a great job of getting separation. But if you're getting 15-yard chunks, you have to do that six times in a row to score a touchdown. And on the other side of that ball, Jameson Williams scores in one play. He needs one great play because with his speed, if he catches the ball and he gets into space, he's gone. Bowers just can't do that against top-level competition because as good as he is and as much separation as he is, can get, he's still a tight end, and corners are still going to run him down when you're playing really, really high-level competition. That's why his numbers were so phenomenal against teams like UAB that didn't have that kind of team speed. So that, to me, is the problem with Georgia. George Pickens, who was basically running on one leg, out-physicaled a guy for a deep ball, but didn't really have the ability to gain any sort of downfield separation. Long speed clearly wasn't there. I don't expect it to be there in this game. I think Jermaine Burton has the potential, but there are a lot of inconsistencies. Ladd McConkie is a guy they've tried to make more of a threat, I think simply because they are so desperate to get speed on the field this year. And there's a lot of injury issues coming in. You know, you really wish you had a guy like Blaylock available, but that's the situation they're in right now. And I think a lot of, yeah, I mean, I totally agree. Stetson Bennett is not the most accurate or consistent downfield passer, but he's not terrible. The biggest problem to me is that they just don't have the downfield explosive threats that you'd really like to see to transform that offense.
Yeah, and so all the Georgia fans have, like I said, pointed their guns at Bennett and not really done a candid self-assessment of their rest of their offensive weapons, especially at wide receiver. And I do think some of that is because of injury. I think if you had Pickens fully healthy, and he was not fully healthy against Alabama. I know everybody said like he's going to be this weapon that we're getting back. If you had him fully healthy, then you see what happens when Jameson Williams went out for Alabama versus Auburn versus when he was in for Georgia. It changes what the defense has to do for everybody. And so Pickens not being 100%, which this month may help a lot in that regard. But so far to this point, not having somebody that's a first-round talent out there has really hampered what I think they can do offensively. I also think that they need to get Stetson Bennett involved with some design runs. If you've got him on the field over JT Daniels because he's more mobile, let him be mobile and not just when the pocket breaks down on third down and getting a first down. Anyway, flip side of the ball, Michigan made us look stupid. We both, I think, picked Ohio State, but you actually picked Michigan to be closer in the Ohio State game, and then we picked Michigan both to win over Iowa, but thought it would be a little bit of a grindy game, and it was a grindy game for Iowa, not so much for Michigan. The matchups turned out to be not at all in a challenge for Michigan in that regard. So it's interesting to me to see that where a lot of people maybe have a feel for this Michigan offense being that 3 yards in a cloud of dust sort of thing. They proved that to not be the case against Iowa and against Ohio State. So talk a little bit about how this Georgia defense or how this Michigan offense matches up against this Georgia defense and whether or not, because a lot of their chunk plays, a lot of their verticality comes in the run game, whether or not you think that's an opportunity there for Michigan or maybe a concern for you for Michigan going into this game.
For me, it has to be a concern. So, yeah, I had the game, you know, I picked Ohio State to win but not to cover. I had it 34-31 Ohio State. I flagged that that was a game that I felt like was by far the most winnable game for Michigan in years. Even a few years ago, I think I actually picked Michigan to beat Ohio State. But I actually felt like this was more winnable in a way, which, you know, sort of shame on me for not going with it or not being brave enough to. The problem in that game was that Ohio State's rush offense isn't fantastic this year, and Michigan defensively and offensively is really kind of do or die with a run. And what I mean by that is Michigan is a very much run-first offense. They are, by and large, about 3-2 run to pass, which is about as much as you ever see outside of some weird, like air raid-ish systems. And then in pass defense or rush defense, and this is one of the stats our model generates, Michigan gives up 86% of opponent averages running the ball. And that's really not a great number. That's 15% below your average. It's pretty typical of most teams. It's really only slightly above average for a P5 team. And it's certainly not a great stat. The problem is Ohio State wasn't good enough to run the ball to exploit it. They were much more dependent on the pass, which meant Michigan could pin their ears back and rush the passer. And on the flip side, Ohio State had shown throughout the year, and definitely in that game, they had a propensity to get run on pretty badly. The problem, and this is another statistic that's out there, Georgia's run defense, 58% of opponent averages. They cut your run game in half. So for Michigan to win this game, and you can tell I've been sick too, off and on, a little better than Daniel, thankfully. For Michigan to win this game, they've got to run the ball, and they need to be able to run the ball well. Against Ohio State, Haskins had 6 yards per carry. Corum had 14 and a half because he had a 55-yard long. Haskins with 5 touchdowns in the game. It was the run game that won it, right? They had 159 yards passing against Ohio State, 1 interception, 0 touchdowns. They are not, I don't think anyone can beat Georgia running the ball at a high clip. We didn't think Alabama could do it. We knew Alabama had a chance because of the matchup situation. But Georgia is particularly and almost uniquely hard to run on. They are as talented and as physical in the front seven as any team really in the past 20 to 30 years. And I mean that truly. They've got that big guy, Jordan Davis. I mean, Davis didn't play a lot of snaps against Alabama because Alabama was throwing the ball as much as they did. He's not a great pass rusher, can't move the pocket, and he's not a guy that's played many third downs this season. But if you're a team that runs the ball a lot and you want to be on schedule, he is a nightmare because it gets really hard to be on schedule against Georgia. And they've got guys like Devontae Wyatt that I think not enough people outside the SEC know. And they've got maybe the best linebacker in the country in N'Kobe Dean. They've got great speed and size at safety. And then the corner position, they've gotten a lot healthier. And it's just all around, even guys like Darian Kendrick at corner, I think a lot of times beat up receivers that are trying to block to set the edge. And it's just really daggum hard to run on them. So I think that's, and it should be obvious, right? That's the difficulty for Michigan. If you are a team that beat Ohio State by establishing the run, by being extremely physical, it's easy to say, well, that was Ohio State. We took it to them. We proved we could run on anybody. But I mean, I really am saying not so fast. I mean, Ohio State was also a team that did not stop the run great. It wasn't necessarily out of the blue that you were able to do it. And I'm looking right now, I mean, Ohio State was giving up 80% of opponent rushing averages. It's not fantastic. They were a good run defense. They weren't necessarily elite when they had been run on this year. Georgia is a different animal. And look, I imagine you agree with me here. This game isn't about hitting 42 for Michigan. This game is about hitting 21. And the question is 21 points or thereabouts for Michigan a reasonable score to be able to win the game or not?
And what Michigan fans are going to counter with is Alabama just scored 41. And I would say, first of all, one of those was a pick six, which might happen again against Michigan. That's possible. But so they scored 34. And I think they did it in a lot of ways that maybe Michigan isn't comfortable with. Michigan has been winning running the ball. Alabama literally could not run the ball in that game. Like, they did run some, but like they were playing with a one-legged running back. So they had to throw it, but they had that verticality. And when you had one of the most crushing injuries, and I've talked about this before, at wide receiver that I've ever seen, because it's the heart and soul of that wide receiver room at Michigan this year, you lost a lot of what you could do vertically. And I do think that, though, I wonder in terms of like finding yards and finding points, if we see more throwing to the running backs from Michigan in this game and trying to maybe take advantage of some mismatch there. But that's another thing that you've got linebackers that play great in space. So I don't want this to sound like a Georgia, you know, advertisement, Josh. So why don't we get in the model, because the model is actually pretty close, and maybe I'm going to force you in explaining the model, talk about why in a good way, or why this has it as close as it does in a good way for Michigan.
So this model straight up has Georgia 29, Michigan 25. And our model, I know most of you guys have tuned in, and there's a lot of stat heads that watch our channel, right? We look at your games against your opponents. We look at how your opponents did against everyone else. And we sort of build this concept of how strong is your team and how strong is it in different areas. And then we look at what your team does in order to score, like, on its own. It's a self-learning scoring model that's unique for each team. And then the game is scored, you know, sort of unique to the matchups in that game. We don't do power ratings or that kind of thing. In fact, our model is still a little bit manual as a result of all these moving parts, because it will let A beat B, B beat C, C would beat A kind of thing. Our model will actually generate those results, which is maybe a little bit unique for the way a lot of models work out there. But one of the big things that's interesting in this game is, from a yardage perspective, Georgia has a significant advantage. It's 6 yards per play to 4.5. And you can't look away from that, right? Georgia passing about 7.9 to Michigan 6.4. We often say 7.5 yards per attempt is the line of competency, quote unquote, in the passing game. And then yards per carry is getting maybe not quite theirs, but close, for almost 4.5 yards per carry for Georgia. And Michigan, 3 yards per carry. I think it's completely reasonable, and probably you should be having the outlook that this is going to be the worst rushing game Michigan's had, because this is the best rushing defense Michigan's faced by a really considerable margin. And yes, I know Wisconsin's really good, et cetera, et cetera. Georgia's generational multi-year good, and it's hard to run on them. But the problem that our model has flagged, as it's flagged all year, we were berated for it off and on with different teams up until the Alabama game. Well, we were in it before the Alabama game, but afterwards, I think people quieted down a little bit. Georgia's scoring, because it's so pro-style, isn't very efficient. And when I say efficient, I mean they're efficient in moving the ball, but they're not explosive. So they don't turn yards into points very well. So they can be expected to outgain you by a large amount and it'd still be a close game. So you've got this 29-25 game. It's even, honestly, it's closer to a three-point game when you get into the decimals in our system. But that is really based on the fact that Georgia can move it well. It thinks Michigan can find points in ways Georgia can't, be that turnovers, be it special teams, etc. And it also thinks Georgia is not really comfortable operating in like a 6 yard per play space and scoring a lot of points. They did it one time this year against Arkansas. That was a game where everything possible went wrong for Arkansas. They put up a lot of points early. But when they've been in this 5 to 6 yard per play range, really anything under 6.5 yard per play, it's only happened a few times. Happened against Alabama, 5.8 yards per play, they scored 24 points. Clemson was 4.2, they scored 10. And the other one was that Arkansas game and they scored 37. And that's what our model is seeing is, you know, Auburn, 6.2 yards per play, 34 points. And so that's right around that 29 mark. A little bit worse than Auburn, a little bit lower scoring production, a team that moves the ball quite well. But just, again, when you try to run the offense through the tight end, when you're trying to be super efficient, you have to be super efficient so many times down the field that one negative play will cause you to not score. And then I think that brings us into a substantive point, which I'll let you have the fun conversation. The edge Michigan has in this game really is their disruption. We are both really high on Aiden Hutchinson. Now, we've been on Twitter saying, I think we would have preferred Will Anderson be in New York over Hutchinson, only because we think Anderson probably has the best stats of an edge player in 10 years. But I still think Hutchinson's maybe top 5 defensive player in the last 3 or 4 years. And for Georgia, who is such an efficiency-driven team, the problem is you can run the ball for 6 yards a carry up the field, finally get in a 3rd-and-7, and I mean, good luck being able to pass the ball in third and medium or third and long with any consistency against Michigan's pass rush.
What we said about Hutchinson before Michigan fans melt into the floor in a fit of apoplexy is that I was fine with Hutchinson being in New York. I really was. I think he deserved it. And here's what frustrates me. Because Will Anderson plays for Alabama, because we have a lot of Alabama followers, a lot of Alabama fans would say, and sorry, y'all, this is a bit of a segue, but I think it's an important one. A lot of Alabama fans would say, well, Hutchinson's getting a lot of hype off of one game, which is silly. That means they only watched the Ohio State-Michigan game and they hadn't seen him play all year. And so that's what frustrated me about, you know, what Alabama fans were saying. I think Will Anderson is the best player in the country. I think he's a better player than Bryce Young. I think he's better than anyone. That does not mean that Aiden Hutchinson didn't deserve to be in New York. That's my spiel. I think they both belong there. I would probably at least considered both of them over Bryce Young, but that's a different story for a different day. It's interesting to me, these matchups and how Michigan scores points and how Georgia scores points, because Ohio State had the same scoring efficiency issue and it reared its head against Michigan. Michigan was able to exploit that. We'll give you yards. We'll give you everything between the 20s, and then we're going to tighten up and make you kick field goals. Then we're going to tighten up and you're not going to score at all. And that is a possibility in this game. I'm going to go ahead and give my score here. And it's a total guess. It's a total guess at this point because I don't know if, like, maybe Iowa's defense is as good as Georgia's or close. I don't think they are, but they are a very good defense, right? And maybe Michigan found something and they're just going to abuse Georgia like they did Iowa. I don't think so. And I think the difference is considerable when we talk about scaling, in that you might play defense X that's not elite but very good, and you hit this tipping point in terms of yards per play and a scoring efficiency where you can score bucket loads of points. And then you play a defense that's 20% better and you score 70% fewer points. And I think that's kind of where we are with Michigan and Georgia. The reason I give Michigan a chance here is that I'm not sure that Georgia's going to be able to score that many points. The deal is, though, I think that Georgia, one, I do think they have the better quarterback. I think they have the better offensive game in general. If Michigan can't run the ball, I don't think they have the quarterback to put up the points they need to beat Georgia. Give me Georgia 27, Michigan 21, which is not a cover, but Georgia win. And with it this close, look, I mean, I am banking on the Georgia defense that I saw all year and not necessarily the one I saw against Alabama showing up in this game. If they don't, and we see Michigan taking advantage the way Alabama did, I think it's going to be a long night for Georgia. But I have faith in what I've seen through the course of the year. And here's the key, Josh. This is the key for me. Georgia is no longer playing a team with nothing to lose. It's what they played in Alabama when Georgia really didn't, they really didn't care as much as they're going to care in this game. Georgia 27, Michigan 21. Give me your score.
Honestly, the more I thought about this game, the less I liked the matchups. My score in this game is 34-17. Okay, 34-17. Michigan fans, I don't dislike your team by 17 points against an average opponent compared to Georgia. I don't think there's a, quote, 17-point rating gap. I think the matchups are horrid for Michigan. This is not who you want to play. You want to be a run-first team. You've established a brand of physicality this year. And on the defensive side of the ball, you're a disruption-first team that is really good about playing teams that are more dependent on explosiveness. I mean, that's what Ohio State is. We talked all year about how they're very herky-jerky, how Stroud was affected by pressure. They weren't very good at consistently distributing the football and taking the easy play. And that's not what Georgia is.
To bring it in for you just a little bit, because they're going to get mad, is it safe to say you would pick a closer margin against Alabama if that's who they drew in the first round?
Yes. I think Alabama, I honestly think Georgia, Michigan would have a much easier game against Alabama than Georgia. I don't know that I would say at this point Alabama is probably a better team than Georgia based off the last game, if I just take that at face value. But even taking those two teams in that game, I still think Alabama, because of what Michigan is defensively, is the tougher matchup. And then when you compare it to the fact that Georgia on defense is built to stop the run, built to stop basically what Michigan wants to do. And then Michigan on defense is built to stop something that is not what Georgia does. And what Georgia is going to do is pound the ball continually. And I think it's going to feel on the defensive side of the ball a lot like the Michigan State game, where I think Michigan's defense may kind of break late in the game. And Georgia's tailbacks, Cook, McIntosh, White, are really good, and they're really deep, and they can rotate them, and they can absolutely wear you down. And I think it'll be close for a while, but at some point I think Georgia's going to start to pull away a little bit. Again, 30, you know, like 17-point game, scoring in the 30s, not a huge deal. But once they're down by a couple scores, I just think Michigan isn't really equipped to play that kind of football. And Georgia's going to be more than happy to sit on a lead and put it away. At the end of the day, I think if Georgia and Michigan played most teams, the difference in their, you know, however much they beat X team by, is probably not as much as this margin is going to represent. And it's just because this is just such, in my mind, a particularly bad set of matchups. And I think, you know, you look at like Dax Hill, you look at Aiden Hutchinson, those guys that are the standout impact players for Michigan. This is a team that really, if they're doing what they want to do, will not let those guys significantly impact the game. And that's a problem. And I think at the end of the day, I just think that Michigan probably going to be close-ish at half. And in the third and fourth quarter, I think they're going to struggle with the physicality of Georgia on offensively, and I think they're going to find themselves in a little bit of a hole they can't get out of.
Let me force you to put your pro Michigan hat on and tell me if, because we're talking about matchups, if Georgia wins this game, what's the biggest matchup advantage that maybe we don't know about, but you would predict to prove out in the game? What's the biggest matchup advantage that you would see that would have facilitated a win for Michigan if that happened?
I think the biggest matchup advantage for Michigan, and if I'm being honest, it's a little tough, and that's why I'm having a hard time picking Michigan in this game, but it's going to be the edge players versus what Georgia has in the offensive line. Georgia's offensive line has not been fantastic this year. They've had some injury issues. They got a little healthier versus Alabama and actually helped them offensively, even though they lost that game. And I say it helped them because they handled Will Anderson. But Anderson is not the same kind of player that Hutchinson is. And with the kind of weapons that Michigan has, you know, like Hill, who has an ability to disrupt in the box in the way I don't think Alabama really has anyone in that sort of, you know, robber safety sort of role, I think Michigan has the potential to get some turnovers and some impact plays. Stetson Bennett is prone to those kinds of plays, and Michigan can bring a lot of traffic and speed up the clock in a way that most teams just can't. And it would be interesting to see. I think Bennett had the most interceptions in the country in JUCO before he transferred. I'm pretty sure that's right. He is an interception prone guy when he's not able to operate with timing. On timing, man, he's an absolutely excellent, efficient game manager, but off timing, he's not great. And he loves to be mobile, roll out the pocket, and maybe the biggest thing there is Michigan does have the sorts of speed and disruptive guys in the edge to force Bennett to stay in the pocket because they can run him down. And so if they have a game, I think the path for Michigan to win is to have those guys that get pressure on Bennett, have a couple plays where he panics, maybe he throws a pick six. And if Georgia's in a hole and throwing, I think this game does change quite a bit because, just like we talked about, that's not really Georgia's game plan. And then maybe Michigan can get an advantage. But it, you know, Alabama beat Georgia by attacking the corners. And I think if Michigan had Bell and, you know, maybe even Xavier Worthy too, we might have a different conversation. But I don't think you're going to use Blake Corum on Nakobe Dean and get huge plays. Michigan's linebackers are just too good, and their safety play is quite good too. And the way Michigan likes to attack guys is those sorts of short plays for big yards, and I don't see that. I think they would probably need some sort of turnover situation in order to get a win.
And I will forever remember that Bell got hurt in the same game where he made what ended up being called not a catch. I don't know if it was offensive PI or something. Y'all help me out in the comments. But it was like the catch of the year if it was called a catch. And it just broke my heart that he got hurt in that game. I think all of this is a relatively fair assessment for you. It is interesting that you noted in the Alabama preview that we did, the Alabama-Georgia preview, that if Georgia got in a hole, you really were concerned for Georgia's ability to fight back and win that game. And you kind of echoed it here, that if Georgia gets in a hole versus Michigan, Michigan's defense is good enough that they can hold Georgia. Now, I will say on the flip side, Alabama's run defense is elite plus this year. And that might be an area where Michigan would have a problem. Even if Michigan's down by 10 points, they can run the ball and not get off schedule if that Michigan defense isn't up to snuff and holding them and forcing them to throw the ball. It'll be an interesting one to watch. I cannot stress how excited I am to watch this game, just because we're both really excited about the run Michigan's been on this year, given how unexpected it was versus last year and our criticisms of Harbaugh. And to our credit, we were very vocal in not loving the Gattis hire, because Michigan's not a place you learn on the job. But we've also given Harbaugh a lot of credit and Gattis credit this year for adapting and doing basically, honestly, I think one of the best coaching job he's ever done. And so Michigan fans should be excited for that and should not walk into this game thinking that it's going to be a loss. It's only an 8-point spread in Vegas right now, and that's very, very winnable for them. All right, let us know in the comments what you think the score is going to be, and we will get at you and tell you why you're wrong. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great bowl season. God bless.